One of the unique things about Christmas is the songs that we sing that stir up memories of Christmases past and hopefully teach us yearly of the great gift that God has given us, namely His Son Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world who came to save us from our sins. These songs that we sing at Christmas time are songs of angels, songs of shepherds, songs about uncomfortable conditions, and even biblical teaching about the removal of the curse that was put on the earth when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And songs about the peace that earth could now know through Jesus, the newborn King. I was traveling recently through a town here that's very local, and as I was driving up the main street of town in the shopping district, as I call it, where the stores are in the older part of town, I noticed how beautifully the town was decorated in all the Christmas decor. And I noticed as I drove through, I could hear music. And at first I thought it was my imagination, and I realized it wasn't. And I thought it was my radio, but I turned it all the way down and I kept hearing the music. And finally, I rolled my window down in my car. And lo and behold, there was music. It was not the usual music that one hears coming from those woofers and tweeters, you know, the boom, 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 that you can hear before you see the car coming, right? It was Christmas music. Christian Christmas music. Not that Grandma got run over by the reindeer. Not, I'll have a blue Christmas without you. It was songs like Silent Night and Away in a Manger coming out over the speakers at the lights in the corners of this town so that everyone driving up and down the street or walking up and down the street shopping could hear the true sounds and praises and songs of Christmas. It was absolutely outstanding. It made me want to park my car and just sit with the windows rolled down and listen. And I thought about how that music would probably stop after Christmas when the decorations were taken down. And I got to thinking about that first Christmas and all the events surrounding it. You see, the people in Palestine at the time of Christ's birth were under Roman occupation. They were oppressed by the Roman government. They were depressed because it seemed like there was no hope of having their own country, their own king, and their own freedom. And life seemed at times to be hopeless to these people. But they also had a promise. Through the Old Testament prophets, they had a promise that God would send a king, a Messiah, to set them free and to give them hope of a better life and to protect them. And there was much anticipation at this time because it was believed by the people that the time for the king to come was at hand. The prophets had foretold how it would happen, where it would happen, and they believed that it was just around the corner, ready to happen at any moment. And come the king did. Miraculously, from the womb of a virgin in human form in a little town called Bethlehem in Palestine. And the birth of the Messiah was not to be kept a secret. It was no time to be silent. The record of events recorded by Dr. Luke tells us that in those days, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world at that time. This was at the time when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So every one of the Jews had to go to his hometown to register. And Joseph, being a Jew who lived in Nazareth, went to Judea, to Bethlehem, to register. When he went, he was with his wife, Mary, who was pledged, or the woman that was pledged to be married to him, Mary, who was expecting a child. They traveled together, they got to Bethlehem, and they found that there wasn't any room for them. There was no place to stay. So they did find a place in a stable. And when Jesus was born, the Messiah was born, he was placed in a feeding trough or a manger. And Luke tells us that while this was going on, there were shepherds outside of Bethlehem on the hills watching their sheep at nighttime. And lo and behold, as they were watching their sheep in the darkness of the night, the glory of the Lord shone around them as the angel of the Lord appeared in great brightness. And I don't know about you, that would have been terrifying to see. Coming down from the heavens, the glory of the Lord exploding in majesty all around them. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you good news of great joy that's going to be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior's been born. It's happened. He's Christ, or the Messiah, the Lord. He's been born. And this will be the sign, saying to them, this will be how you'll know. Go there and you'll see this baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And again, a great heavenly host, a great heavenly army, the armies of Almighty God showed up to praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." You see, the angels sang a doxology. A doxology, like we just sung a little bit ago, is a song of praise to God. And they sang, "Glory to God in the highest." In the song, "Angels We Have Heard on High," we sing, "Gloria in Excelsis Deo." This is Latin for "Glory in the highest to God." We're again singing the doxology to Almighty God for what He's done in Jesus Christ, that a Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. Now, one would ask, why didn't those angels come over Bethlehem where all the people could see them in some great choir so that everyone could see the glory and hear all about this great announcement? And honestly, I wondered that too. Why wouldn't they do that? But you see, we have to remember that a huge fire is started by a small match. And the fire that still burns in us today through the songs that we sing at Christmas began as a spark of hope proclaimed by the angels to the lowest of society of that day. Those old, dirty, stinky shepherds. But that wasn't the end of the singing when the angels came. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go see. Let's go see for ourselves." So they went to Bethlehem. It says they hurried off. In haste, they hurried. Quickly, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they saw him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They went up to Mary and Joseph and they said, "The angels appeared to us and told us that it would be like this, that this is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. And there He is. The angels proclaimed it. He's our proof." And the shepherds returned, it says, glorifying and praising God. Praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Praising God. In the Greek language, in the original text, the word is doxazo. Doxazo. Which means to render or esteem glory to someone. They were giving glory in the great doxology of themselves, praising God. In song, which is a lot of the ways that the Jewish people praise God, they spoke in songs and sang. They too were singing the songs of praise, the Christmas songs, just as the angels sang. The Christmas songs have been around since the first Christmas, and it's sad that we only hear them and sing them for such a short time each year, because the message that are in them is a reminder and a message of hope. If there's ever a time when our world needs hope, who can deny it's right now? Look at our world. If there's ever a time when the world needed hope, it's now. And this is no time to be silent. It's no time to be politically correct. It's no time to worry about stepping on somebody's toes. It's time to praise God, glory to God in the highest. Because a Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord. And the only way there will ever be hope and peace is when we personally receive the gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. Because in Christ we have hope that nothing, absolutely nothing in this life will rule over us. Not financial worries, not physical ailments, not drugs or alcohol, not pornography, not anger, not hatred, not even death. Because if Christ is our King, He will make sure that no other kingdom will take us or sap the life right out of us. Because He is a glorious, almighty, and divine King. All-powerful. All-present. All-knowing. And if He's our King, do you think He's going to let somebody else come in and rule over His people? Paul told the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? God's favor and His peace rest on all who receive His Son, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And my question to you tonight is, have you received God's Son? The hymn reminds us, where meek souls will receive Him still today. The dear Christ enters in. It's not too late. There's no better time than right now, tonight, to begin. We sing the songs not because they give us a warm, fuzzy feeling or memories of Christmases gone by. We sing them along with the shepherds and the angels because we're filled with joy that God gave us a King to rule in our hearts and a place in His kingdom forever. Who else can do that? No one else. Absolutely no one can give us eternal life. Jesus says, I hold the keys of hell and death in my hands. He has the keys to life, eternal life. And unless we bow down to Christ and give our lives to this baby who was born in a manger, we might as well just put on our cardigan sweater and sit in the rocker by the fireplace, fill our pipes with sweet smelling tobacco, and sit there and read, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, hadn't we? But what will we have when the fire goes out? What will we have when the story ends? And what will we have when we realize the rocking gets us nowhere? You see, Christmas is about Christ. That's why they call it Christmas. If it wasn't, they'd call it something else. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Who angels greet with anthems sweet? While shepherds keep watch their keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, or hurry to bring Him laud and praise, the babe, the son of Mary. Folks, this is no time to keep silent. Although we sing Silent Night, it's time for us to stand up and praise God, not just tonight, not just tomorrow, but Monday, Tuesday, Friday, next month, next year, and beyond into eternal life. Because you know something? The Bible tells us that's what we're going to be doing for eternal life, is praising God. And I don't know about you, I want to be practiced up when I get there. Because if you don't like it now, you're not going to like it for eternal life. That's what we'll be doing for eternal life. And there's no better time to start than tonight and continue on day in and day out of our lives, all the days of our lives, and all the days of eternal life. It's no time to be silent. It's the time to lift our voices in praise and doxology and glory to Christ the King, our Lord, Emmanuel. Let's pray. Holy Father, although at times it seems the singing dies down, the volume goes low, and sometimes even silent in our hearts. Oh God, may the joy that You've brought to the world in Jesus Christ fill us to overflowing, to know that we will never have peace in our lives unless we have Jesus there. That was Your purpose for creation when You created the earth and us. Father, as we light our lights tonight, I pray that this time might burn with a flaming fire in our hearts and souls to know that Christ desires to live there. that we might open our hearts to Him and know that where meek souls will receive Him still, He enters in, that we might open our hearts tonight and every day of our lives to receive the newborn King, our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.